And it is a Thursday. It's time to talk to the voice of the KU Jayhawks, Brian Haney. Brought to you, as always, by Anderson Insurance Agency, as the KU football team ranked in the top 25 again at number 23. They are 5-1 and have a chance of getting bowl eligibility for the second straight year, oddly enough, against the same program, the Oklahoma State Cowboys, except they'll be on the road in Stillwater this year, coming up on Saturday with pregame at 2 o'clock, kickoff at 2:30 on your home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas, Z96.3 The Lake. I've taken a couple of my boys down to watch the game, go down to Stillwater. I've never been to Stillwater, Oklahoma. I've never been to a game at Boone Pickens Stadium, so I'm looking forward to the game coming up on Saturday, and I know that Jason Bean will be the starting quarterback. We'll talk all about that here in just a moment, but we want to piggyback what we were talking about there before we brought on Brian, and that is we talked Chiefs Broncos, of course, tonight on Z96.3 Lake, but also the findings there with the Independent Accountability Resolution Process, the IARP, announcing their infractions report for the University of Kansas basketball yesterday. Brian, it was I'm sure a stressful day, a day of relief as well for the men's basketball program. Even Coach Self kind of talked about how the cloud has been lifted, and he and Travis Goff with various statements yesterday. But what do you take out of all of this that transpired yesterday after a lengthy review or case or investigation that took well over 2,200 days?
Well, it's just good to be done with it, have it in the rearview mirror, and to be able to, you know, attack whatever is left on Coach Self's time here, whether he coaches another 6 or 10 years or whatever, to be out from underneath this cloud. I think he's excited about that. It's amazing to see what he accomplished in the midst of the 6-year investigation, because recruiting was made much more difficult. The fact that they won a national championship and were in position to win another in 2020 before the tournament was canceled was a great testament to just why we got the best guy in the country and, you know, the best X's and O's guy, the best recruiter, no matter what the circumstances are. Bill Self's that guy, and our staff is that good. And now to think what they can accomplish in this, you know, last push of his career. I know he wants to win at least one more, maybe two more national titles in whatever time's left. But to do so with that kind of fleeing feeling of no more cloud hanging over you, I think that's something that gives them an invigorating feeling, a rejuvenating feeling, and they're ready to attack it. It stunk to have to take down a 2018 Final Four banner and vacate those 15 wins that Silvio was a part of. As someone that's a KU basketball historian and loves to, you know, puff our chests out over the fact that we'd won 14 straight and we'd been to 33 straight NCAA tournaments and stuff like that, to have to dial back those types of nuggets statistically and historically, it stinks. But the coaching staff was more concerned with the present and future student athletes of this program. Just because that banner comes down doesn't mean those memories weren't made for Devontae Graham and Steve McKay-Luke and Malik Newman. And so, you know, you'll never be able to take away those memories. But they were more concerned with the here and the now, with this group, and making sure there was no postseason restrictions of any kind, and making sure that they were able to recruit that next group without any limitations beyond what had already been self-imposed. And so I think that the good news is, for all of those reasons, they're very much in a good spot, and we're certainly content with the decisions of yesterday. For guys like me that love to beat the drum on all the great feathers in the cap of KU basketball, you know, a little bit comes off of that. I'm not worried about falling, what is it now, 7 games back at Kentucky with the 15 we have to vacate, 15 wins, that is. Because honestly, KU can make that up in the next couple of seasons, you know. But I think the one that stings is you won't be able to say 14 straight anymore. And obviously, it's weird as a broadcaster, when Self makes his next Final Four, do I say on the air, going to his 5th Final Four, or do I say 4th now? Mm-hmm. Stuff like that fans don't have to worry about. But, you know, me as a Bill Self guy and a proud KU grad and voice of the Jayhawks, you know, little specific nuances like that and the things that we have to go back and put asterisks next to, that's the frustrating part, I suppose.
People had some good jokes, you know, about, okay, so that barrage of three-pointers by Villanova never happened, and I was there to witness that. And so my play on that is, so do I get my money back? Because it didn't happen. I went all the way to San Antonio, and I set upper deck, and they weren't cheap tickets, and I watched KU get pummeled that night because Villanova could not miss no matter what the entire game from three-point land. I'm just sat laughing here, chuckling to myself, going, well, and Dusty tells me I can try it. He doesn't think my odds are very good at getting my money refunded for that. You don't think I have a chance, do you?
No, I've heard several people mention that. You know, I think the best line I heard in regards to that, and again, these are all people with the tongue planted firmly in cheek.
Sure.
They said, you know, technically, his career win percentage at Kansas is 76%. So if you take away the 15-5 that Silvio was a part of, it actually increases his overall winning percentage, because in that stretch he was only at 75%.
Yep.
Obviously, he's not smiling about that. He hates to see that banner come down. But there were definitely some creative spins on it yesterday, of which yours is certainly one of them. And, you know, I think, like I said, the thing we can all smile about is that we're heading into our future with no restrictions or no ability for other programs to negatively recruit and say, oh, but what about Kansas when this decision comes down? You know, you're not going to have to worry about that going forward. And the fact that they recruited as well as they did in that stretch, again, is a testament to how great the staff is and how great Bill Self is. But also, look at that national championship team. I mean, Ochai, the MOP, was picked 312th at the time he was committed to Kansas. Christian Brown was barely top 100. It says a lot about their talent evaluation, but also their ability to develop guys. And, you know, they didn't do it with every player being a five-star, top 25 McDonald's All-American. They had a few of those sprinkled in, but largely that group was guys they identified that didn't have as much competition for them in the recruitment, and they were able to coach them up. And that, again, speaks to just the overall amazing talent of this staff. Not just I've worked for staffs that were really good recruiters, but the coaching wasn't there, or the in-game coaching was great, but player development lacked. This staff does it all, you know, to a five-star level. And I think it's exciting to think about what these next 5 to 10 years could look like now without that cloud hanging over you.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, with us every single Thursday. Thanks to Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701. All right, let's turn our attention back to the gridiron. I thought KU was going to have a tough game. It would be close, high scoring. I thought KU would win, but it would be a tight one against Central Florida, and not even close. KU took it to them, up 24-0 at halftime. Then the 75-yard run by Neal right off the bat in the second half, 31-0, was a laugher. And the thing that stands out to me, there's lots of things that stand out about this game, Brian. I'm sure the same applies to you. Well, the first thing that stands out, you run for 399 yards and just ran all over Central Florida, who has struggled against the run throughout the year. The other thing that stands out, Jason Bean only had to throw the ball 12 times. And the third thing that stands out, the defense got a shutout in the first half against a team that was averaging over 500 yards per game. Is there anything not to like about what they did on Saturday against Central Florida?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those games where all three phases, you know, the domination. You get the Big 12 special teamer of the week, Trevor Wilson, who returns our first punt for a touchdown in 9 years, going back to Nick Harwell versus West Virginia in 2014. You add in all the defensive superlatives that you mentioned. I mean, it was a final yardage total that was just under about 180 less than what they had been averaging. They came in number 5 in the country in total offense, essentially 550 a game, and you know, you hold them well below that. And obviously you had more disruptive plays by Austin Booker, who now is tied for the Big 12 lead in sacks, had another forced fumble. That was great to see. I thought Jason Gilliam really made some nice plays, as did several Jayhawks that we probably don't sing their praises enough, because we talk so much about the Kobe Bryants and the Kenny Logans and the Rich Millers of the world. But we're seeing other players start to emerge on this Kansas defense. And that's a good thing, because you're getting to that portion of the season where you're a little bit nicked up and you need to have other guys emerging. And I thought that was a huge, huge positive. And then you said the ground game success you know, was a standout, and you're absolutely right. I mean, we haven't had two 130-yard rushers in the same game since 1985. Hadn't had two 100-yard rushers since 2019, but 130 by multiple guys, that hadn't happened since, you know, I was in kindergarten, and I don't know what grade you would have been in at that point, but that's going back a ways. And so that was neat to see. They are going to, you know, obviously have to air it out more in future matchups. You're not going to be able to dominate in the trenches like they did. And, you know, I think we thought we had an edge there, because when there's an acclimation process for a program going from, you know, a lesser-sized conference to now the Power Five, you don't just adjust to the size and the physicality overnight. That probably takes 2+ years to do that. And so we knew there was going to be a size discrepancy and a physicality advantage for Kansas up front. I don't think anybody thought it would be as dominating as it was. And so that was the big surprise, obviously. I think UCF walked out there thinking, okay, we got to get bigger and more physical up front. But yeah, you know, that's not something that just is going to translate week in and week out. You're not going to do the same thing as dominantly as you saw, you know, last week versus this Oklahoma State team. No way. Got to be able to open it up and air it out and test them downfield. And so I think we'll see a better blend of that. I think it also, you know, puts Jason Bean in a more comfortable position to turn it loose a little bit more now that, you know, he's had a great game of kind of managing the offense, getting him to the winner's circle. Didn't have to show a ton there, but is certainly ready to show he's capable of more. And I think we'll see that this week. And then you get into your bye, and you got Oklahoma after that. And hopefully we're talking about a little closer to full strength at multiple positions, including quarterback, by the time Oklahoma rolls around. But it really is a week-to-week thing at quarterback with Jalen. Don't know what to expect entering the bye week in terms of will he be able to practice on the other side of that. Who knows? But, man, to see the way Jason has, you know, I get to watch these guys every day in practice, to see the way that he's embraced this and has been a great senior leader that was selfless and humble at the start of the season when he knew that there was no guarantee how many reps he was going to get. And now you look at the midway point of the season and he started half of our games. He's about to start his fourth game out of seven. And that decision to come back, even though there was no guarantees or promises when he did come back, has proven to be a great one for him. And I think we're so lucky to have a veteran in that spot because, again, without it, you're down to a true freshman walk-on behind him, which, by the way, and I think we touched on this briefly last week, but mm-hmm. It really makes sense now. Everybody wants to see Jason Bean do what he does best, and he's the fastest guy on the team. And we remember the game versus Oklahoma State last year when he had the big 70-plus yard touchdown run down the left sideline. Hey, I love seeing that. I love calling that. But if they don't run him as much on design run plays, it's because, obviously, you're thin at that position right now. If he gets knocked out, it's on the hands of a 18-year-old that was a true freshman walk-on. So that's why, you know, they'll be a little more conservative with what they do with Jason to try to keep him healthy. But I think we're all feeling very grateful he's our guy right now. And certainly we're hopeful for Jalen. But man, you know, you got to fall in behind the guy that is there and give him all your support. I love to see the way this team has rallied around Jason. He certainly deserves it.
Kansas, 399 rushing yards. Tony Sands was like, yeah, whatever. I that's nothing. I did 396 against Mizzou. But it was funny that he was there to witness that as well. Matchup against Oklahoma State. The Cowboys with a big win last Friday night over Kansas State, 29-21. It appears they've settled in on a quarterback after rotating three different quarterbacks throughout the year. Had a very bad loss at home to South Alabama about 3 weeks ago, 33-7, but bounced back against K-State. Last year, KU became bowl eligible by beating Oklahoma State in Lawrence. Now they have a chance to be bowl eligible with their sixth win by winning at Stillwater coming up on Saturday at 2:30. What jumps out to you? What stands out to you? What concerns you about this matchup with KU going on the road? And it's never easy to win on the road, as Oklahoma State proved when K-State went there to Stillwater last Friday.
Well, you can make a case. This has been the toughest spot for Kansas in the modern era, at least in the last 15 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at the scores of the last six road trips down there, and I hate to bring this up, but it's reality, it's a combined total of 314-77.
Ouch.
Right? If there is a singular house of horrors for Kansas, it is Boone Pickens Stadium in Stillwater. This has not been a fun place to go. And so, yes, we have bad memories there. They've typically always been the bigger, faster, stronger, deeper, you know, more developed team in every instance we've gone down there. But this year, Kansas comes in as the team that has more polish, as the team that has more momentum, and honestly has more explosive players. And that to me is the big differential. And again, I'm not speaking negatively at all, but I think if you ask what jumps out, you know, looking at Oklahoma State now versus some previous teams that have hung 50 on Kansas, they don't quite have the same explosiveness. I mean, this was a program that was producing Biletnikoff Award receivers almost every year. Not that we're winning the award, but candidates for it. I just don't see a Blackman or a Bryant or one of those types guys emerging on this particular group. And it's great that Alan Bowman has become a consistent option for them at quarterback, because I know they were really struggling to get some consistency at that position before the Texas Tech and Michigan transfer finally emerged. But it's just not quite what they were in the past. They used to go down there and they'd have an NFL guy at running back, two NFL prospects at receiver, and a quarterback that, if he wasn't a pro prospect, he was really good at getting the ball into the hands of the guys that were. It's just a little bit different this year. I don't quite see that same explosiveness, but they are still very well coached. They still have difference makers all over the field defensively, and I think they'll make life tough on the Jayhawks in a multitude of ways. But Kansas comes in looking a little bit more the part of the role that Oklahoma State has played for the better part of the last 15 years. And so that's quite a juxtaposition compared to what we're used to going down there. But it's still going to be a raucous atmosphere. I do know of a lot of Jayhawk fans that are making the trek down there, which sounds like that includes you and Noah and the Gerstner family, which is awesome. So I think we'll have a little more section of blue or splatting of blue across the orange and black that typically fills up 53,000 plus there. But I don't think it's going to be quite what it's been in terms of heading down there into a buzzsaw like we've seen these last dozen years or so, because Kansas comes down a confident team, feeling like they're favorites for a reason, and history doesn't matter because we're a different group now with different leadership, and they're going to try to put all that behind it. But I promise you this, that number of 314 to 77 has been mentioned to them, not to scare or intimidate, but rather to inspire that, hey, these guys have put it on some previous Jayhawk fans, but this is a new era, and this is our chance to change the course of history and start new trends with maybe Kansas on the other side of a discrepancy. And so that's certainly what they're setting down there to try to accomplish on Saturday.
And as we said, with a win, bowl eligible for the second straight year, you already have six wins in your back pocket. I know we've talked about this before, but, I mean, you go 6-7 last year, start 5-0. This year, you have a chance to start 6-1 if you win at Stillwater, and then you got a week off and get ready for Oklahoma to come to town, and KU would probably move up into the top 20 in the poll, and Oklahoma will probably be right there at top 5. What would that mean for this football program to go to be bowl eligible back-to-back years this quickly in the Leipold era?
Well, certainly that was the initial goal of this season, and I think we spoke pretty confidently in August that they were going to have a great chance to do that for just the second time in school history, the back-to-back bowl eligible thing. But if you go back and listen to those August interviews, we also said that was just an initial goal because their expectation, quite frankly, was well beyond six wins. And I told you 8 was the number I was kind of shooting for, but if you asked anybody in that KU locker room, they're thinking we want to contend for a Big 12 title. And clearly, this particular opportunity on Saturday, though articles would be written about bowl eligibility and all that, should they win, the bigger piece is you're now heading into your bye week, very much in the Big 12 title hunt. Again, it's the top two teams that make it. We're not talking about having the best singular record at the end of the regular season, just finishing in the top two. You're one of those ranked teams. And while everybody's talking about Oklahoma and Texas and a rematch of what we just saw last week on December 2nd in Arlington, Kansas has just as good a shot as anybody if you win games like Saturday. You're going to have to win a couple of those games where it's a road game in a one-score type projection, and you got to go out there and prove that you're able to win the close ones and have success away from home. And I think that's, to me, honestly, the bigger storyline. That bowl eligibility, which sounds crazy because we went 14 years between being bowl eligible. But yes, that'll be the headline if they win on Saturday on the KUAthletics.com website, bowl eligible. But I think the bigger thing is, because think about this, Wade. If you win on Saturday, you're 6-1. You're now 3-1 in the league. You get a bye week to get more healthy, if not completely healthy. And then it's Oklahoma at home with the real opportunity game of your entire season. We thought that was Austin, obviously, but the other one, or the one that you get to host, is OU. And suddenly OU is ranked number 3 in the country, And that's what a win this week could put you in position for. Suddenly, you're right back in that Big 12 championship game conversation. So that, to me, is what's there for the taking, as much as the bowl eligibility thing, which is great. Yep. But man, what a great position to sit in here, Wade, that we're talking about a Kansas team that kind of looks at that as just the first rung on the ladder, and they've got goals set much higher. Having that as your outlook and the type of conversation we're having here, that's night and day different than what you and I talked about for the last 7 years.
I was going to say, 2 years ago, if you and I had this conversation talking about this is going to happen in 2 years, everybody would have laughed until they just fell over and couldn't stop breathing. They would have laughed at that whole concept. Isn't it? It's just amazing. It's just amazing the turnaround that Coach Leipold has done and that staff with KU football. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for you. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. National Bosses Day is Monday, October 16th, coming up on Monday. I guess it's a two-pronged question. One, who officially is your boss?
Man, I don't know if I can answer that.
Who signed your check? That's the key, right?
I have an immediate supervisor who's Daniel Burke, who's one of our associate ADs, but I've got Jason Booker, Travis Goff, Mark Tuttle. I think, honestly, I consider the head coaches my bosses, too, the ones that I call play-by-play for. So, In total, I think I have seven bosses. Does that mean I have to get seven gifts?
Dude, that's a horrible development for you that you just went through that publicly on the air. Now you have to get gifts for every single person you just mentioned.
Man, they're all great guys, so I guess that's just to work on that. You always remind me of these holidays I didn't know existed. It's probably manufacturing for the sake of commercialism, but... I suppose that's a good thing. I'm always in the business of making people feel appreciated. So
okay.
If it takes a Hallmark holiday to do that, then we'll do it.
Okay, all right. Well, I might hit the pocketbook a little bit, but get those seven gifts or whatever they are, line them up and have them ready. And I want to hear a full report on what everybody thought of the gifts you got them next Thursday when we have you on, okay?
Sounds good, my man.
Hey.
You just let me know when favorite radio affiliate day is, the national holiday for that, and we'll be sending our love to Glenn Elder Beloit.
Ah, I love it. I'll keep an eye on that. I'll note that. Hey, man, have safe travel down to Stillwater, and hopefully Jayhawks can bring back a win, and we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Sounds good, brother. Thanks a lot. Take care.
That's Brian Haney, the voice of Jayhawks, brought to you, as always, every Thursday here on The Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky at 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.